Today, households could save a billion or more. Hello again, it's Martin, author from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. Given the current focus on the rise of the use of cash, it's worth remembering that each year Australian households are collectively charged somewhere between $1 billion and $4 billion in payment surcharges, which is a fee paid by customers in addition to the price of a good or service, allowing merchants to pass on the cost of the customer's chosen payment method. These days, it's mostly debit transactions, which may be triggered by electronic payments from phones and other devices, as well as debit and credit cards. This has meant that the RBA recently accelerated a review into merchant payment costs and surcharging, and it's now released the 90-plus submissions received from interested parties, and it's clearly creating a storm, with some calling for the banning of said surcharges and others arguing that banning surcharges will result in higher prices to consumers. When surcharging was introduced around 20 years ago, the RBA put Australia out of step with most of the rest of the world, where the practice is illegal. At the time, the central bank's intention was to use them as a price signal to customers that the more expensive payment systems, at the time credit cards, were a burden for the seller. Now, I've always believed that this was a policy error. They've actually been outmaneuvered by the banks and lately by fintechs, who've introduced fixed payment plans in an attempt to reduce payment fee complexity for business customers. These plans let a merchant pay the same cost irrespective of what card the customer uses. But this has resulted in more surcharging of debit cards, which is the fastest growing segment of the payments market and which in theory should be the cheapest. Actually, payment revenue earned from merchants is shared between banks that issue cards to the consumer, the interchange fees, which are around on average 30% of the direct costs, the network providers like Visa, MasterCard, and FPOST, called the scheme fees, that's around 20%, and the banks that supply the physical terminal to the retailer, the acquirer margin, representing about half of the cost. This is all obfuscated, of course. Australians spend about $1 trillion on credit and debit cards annually, racking up about 15 billion electronic payments. To sustain the system, banks and payment companies charge businesses around $7 billion worth in annual fees, according to the Independent Payments Forum, which are the costs either paid by businesses or passed on to consumers. Some retailers have been taking advantage of this loophole, pocketing more than the cost of acceptance and flouting rules set by the ACCC, which is also monitoring this area. The ACCC has been writing to businesses that it believes is going too far with surcharging, warning potential regulatory action will follow if costs exceed actual fees incurred. Actually, they said in their submission that between January 2023 and June 2024, it's received around 2,500 reports about payment surcharging and other add-on costs, with the most common issue being allegations of excessive surcharging. So, how big is the problem? Well, assuming 10% of the economy's transactions, the actual number is unknown, even by the RBA, are surcharged at 1.5%, Australians are slugged about $1.5 billion annually in opaque fees. Canstar estimated Australians spend about $1 billion a year on surcharges, but there are even higher estimates, around $4 billion, so nobody really knows. But these kickbacks have been described as a rort, and it's big. Six Labor MPs are urging the Reserve Bank to ban all surcharges for every debit transaction and dramatically reduce merchant fees for businesses, asking the central bank to go further than the government's pledge to stop surcharges only on card payments. Jerome Luxale, the member for Bennelong, called the extra fees that people pay to use their own money a rort and said the RBA needed to step up. He led a submission with five Labour colleagues to the RBA's review of card payment surcharging, saying the system needed major updates beyond those the government had committed to. Current costs are unfair and can no longer be justified. This points to a system that is unfair and broken and one that is ripe for reform, the submission read. Last year, in the main committee room of Parliament House, the MP held up a crumpled $5 Polymer banknote Why ask the bosses of Australia's major banks? If he paid for the same cup of coffee with his debit card, did it cost $5.08? He produced a debit card with the inflated price taped to its front to ram home the apparent injustice, like a referee wielding a red card. It was a simple question, and one that has been asked all over the country. When a $40 round of drinks shows up from the electronic payment terminal as $40.64, nobody can say precisely where that 64 cents goes. And when those charges are aggregated across the country, the cents add up to real big dollars. There is actually an intergenerational aspect to this too, as many baby boomers are using credit cards, especially with reward programs, which are more costly to run, while younger people are more likely to be using tap and go. Now, debit card users are coming to realize that blended pricing involves cross-subsidization of credit cards loaded with benefits such as rewards points that they don't participate in. Another way of putting it is that young people on debit schemes are making it easier for older Australians to support their frequent flyer habits. It wasn't supposed to be this way. The RBA estimates that the average wholesale cost of processing an EFTPOS payment, which uses a domestic network, is less than 0.5%. Costs of between 0.5 and 1% for the Visa and MasterCard debit networks are between 1 and 1.5% for Visa and MasterCard credit. American Express charges 2% fees. The fees are spent on maintaining the network security and services that the popular debate often overlooks, compensating merchants for fraud and refunding customers if goods are not delivered. Credit cards are more expensive because banks buy reward points from airlines to use as sweeteners, with the objective of facilitating more transactions to earn higher interest from borrowers. Now, the new pricing structures were introduced by Square, which is part of Block, when it entered the merchant market in 2016 with a price of 1.6% of the cost of the goods, regardless of the card being tapped. This helped it lure cafes and restaurants off bank terminals and forced the major banks to follow. CBA charged a fixed 1.1%, the other major banks slightly higher. In addition, small businesses argue that they are paying a disproportionately high amount of the fees because larger retailers like the supermarkets get better deals and in some cases have their own clearing systems. So a perverse outcome of similar pricing is that it results in many small businesses being charged more than the wholesale cost of EFTPOS transactions, which are supposed to be cheaper. Some businesses are paying more than they would actually outlay, reflecting the higher skew to debit among customers. And in some cases, by the way, they are now saying cash only. Now, it's estimated that Australian small businesses currently pay about $1.7 billion more in payment fees compared to big businesses like major supermarkets, according to one industry group. That is because large companies can negotiate better deals compared to the smaller players. Westpac and others want the RBA to ban small businesses from choosing blended pricing payment products like Square to reduce competition. And by allowing the banks to decide which transaction route between EFTPOS and the international schemes, fixed pricing plans are rubbing up against another RBA payment tender known as least cost routing. This is supposed to allow merchants to choose to send payments to the lowest cost network. Whether banks are booking extra profits through EFTPOS and withholding this from merchants will be investigated by the RBA. So all up, it's a really confusing picture. As Westpac CEO Peter King recently agreed, we really have to think about whether surcharging is worth it, because I'm not sure it's driving the policy intent. There's no other cost in a business that people get to surcharge. National Australia Bank Chief Executive Andrew Irvine said recently that it was outrageous he was forced to pay $5.50 for a $5 coffee in Sydney. Commonwealth Bank has urged the Reserve Bank to scrap surcharges on debit and credit card payments, saying that they're no longer fit for purpose. The country's biggest bank said a complete ban on surcharging would be the simplest outcome for consumers, in line with regions, including the European Union, helping to wipe out the practice of excessive surcharging and the challenges of enforcing current standards. It suggested a cap on credit card fees as a fallback position if the government opted only to ban surcharges for debit cards. But CBA argues that banning only debit surcharges will leave credit card users facing the same issues around fee transparency and enforcement, and also potentially leaves those customers on the hook for higher transaction fees as merchants seek to recover debit fees from credit card users. So the RBA, they say, needs to look at the whole payment ecosystem. Outlawing surcharging entirely would bring Australia in line with overseas economies, like in Europe and the UK, where the practice is banned. And CBA's rationale is that a complete ban is the simplest way to deal with surcharging inequality. A surcharging ban would be utterly devastating to the restaurant and cafe segment of the accommodation and food service industry, said Wes Lambert, CEO of the Australian Restaurant and Cafe Association. So not everybody agrees, with some venues facing up to a 50% drop in net profit if a ban is introduced. They will need to put up menu prices to cover the merchant fees that they must pay, leading to further inflation. Other retailers are suggesting domestic FPOS debit transactions should be capped at zero cost for transactions, say, less than $50. And the Australasian Convenience and Petroleum Marketing Association also opposes the banning of surcharging until a substantial disparity between unit costs of transactions for big and small businesses are addressed, it said in its submission. MasterCard Australasia President Richard Wormald warned a partial ban on debit but not credit payments would only disadvantage particularly less affluent consumers who are using credit as a cash flow management tool to manage their budget. There should be a complete ban on surcharges across all card types. A debit-only ban is just going to increase the credit surcharges. And Visa, in its submission, said it supports revising the RBA surcharging framework given the increased public concern about surcharging, especially excessive surcharging, among other factors. Visa is of the view that if a ban on surcharging has been introduced, it should then apply to both debit and credit products. In Square's submission to the RBA, the payment service provider admitted the market had increased in competition massively in nearly 10 years, and the rise of fintech brands has caused the big banks' market share to fall from 73 to 63%. Square said that this has reduced average merchant fees by 15%, saving small businesses up to $1,680 a year on embedded software. But the Independent Payments Forum, the IPF, which represents merchants, believes that smaller businesses need to get a better deal in the RBA's review. But Qantas and Virgin Australia warned of higher prices on flights if surcharges were banned. In its submission, Qantas says surcharging gave businesses and consumers choice about how they paid, and that allowing firms to recover the cost of accepting card payments helped keep prices in check. Both airlines let customers pay without a fee, but make it more convenient to pay using cards that can add $50 or more to the price of costly international return flights, or less for cheaper routes and seats. The ACCC also warned the retail payment system appeared to have shifted the greatest cost to small businesses and consumers, which tend to be those with the least bargaining power, and call for more transparency about fees set by card schemes and payment service providers. Treasurer Jim Chalmers has said that he's prepared to ban debit card surcharges on January 1st, 2026, subject to the Reserve Bank review that will be completed later this year. This comes back to me to a couple of key points. First, some firms are indeed benefiting from the current system, especially large firms. Second, there is little transparency, and as transaction volumes rise, the costs to households and businesses rise too. Third, the original assumptions about unbundling and price signaling have proved incorrect as technologies evolve faster than regulators bid to keep up. To me, the benefits of removing surcharging altogether outweigh other options. But of course, the question will be, will households at the end of the day get the benefit? They certainly should, but big businesses will often get in the way. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.